All righty. Well, this is the end. Not really. It's not the end. It's just the beginning, huh? It's not the end. Great. We're going to talk about the future a little bit. And the future's pretty important to me. And what I want to do is I want to show you something called a theology of generational responsibility. How's that for a mouthful, huh? A theology of generational responsibility. You know, we were talking about some pretty deep subjects, huh? I mean, we started off with we're all jacked up, and then we went right into gender, and then we went to church hurt, and then last night we were dealing with mental health, mental illness. And one of the things that we kind of dealt with last night in our questions was the question of, like, why? Why live? What am I here for? What's my purpose? What exactly have I been put here to do? There was a man in the concentration camps in the 1940s, and his name is Victor, and he wrote a book about being in that concentration camp. And he said that it was a horrible experience being in the concentration camp. But he said the people who survived and thrived as much as that was possible were all people who had a why. They all had a why. He said the people who came to the camp, who were kidnapped, abducted, you know, raped, pillaged, oppressed, abused, and eventually killed, the people who did not have a why struggled a lot more than the people who had a why. A why. I know why I'm here. I know what I'm supposed to be doing, and I know when I'm supposed to be doing it. And that's how we're going to end today's session, along with giving you guys an opportunity to respond to what you think God is calling you to and what God's doing in your life, talking about the why. So let's take a look at some things. I believe the first one is Psalm 78. What I want you to see as we walk through this is I want you to see the word generation, and then I want you to see the relationship that generations have with each other, and I want you to see how there is a such thing as generational responsibility that God actually commands it. In other words, it's my responsibility as part of a generation to serve my generation, but then it's my responsibility to equip the next generation to serve God. It's actually biblical. It's not just pragmatism. It's in there. So, my people, hear my teaching. Listen to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth with a parable. I will utter hidden things, things from of old, things we have heard and known, things our ancestors have told us. We will not hide them from their descendants. We will tell the next, there's the word, right? Generation, the praiseworthy deeds of the Lord, his power, and the wonders he has done. He decreed statutes for Jacob and established the law in Israel, which he commanded our ancestors to teach their children so the next generation would know them, even the children yet to be born, and they in turn would tell their children. So we've got four generations in this text, right? Then they would put their trust in God and would not forget his deeds, but would keep his commands, right? So we've got this generation here. Well, we've got ancestors were commanded by God to tell their people, and those people were commanded to tell their people and their people. This is how things get passed down over generations. And when we're talking about things, we're talking about things, even things that you guys have learned doing this worthy, this retreat, this metamorphic. These things are now responsibilities for me. So for me, it's like people sometimes say, well, what makes you do this or what makes you do that? It's like, well, when God gives me something, it now becomes a stewardship, and now it's my responsibility. I know that it's for me and my benefit, but I also know it's probably for someone else, at least one other person. And it may be for a whole other group of people. So one of the things that got me excited when Todd invited me here is because I get to look in the face of the future of not only the church, but this nation and this world. You guys are the future. You are future, fill in the blank, everything. And I have no doubt, I'm a guy who does not believe in accidents. And with my story that you've heard, and I know that what God's working in your life, I just believe that these things have come together for a real strategic reason. And the subjects we've addressed over the last few days, being so pointed and being so serious and being so relevant and so real and so like easily for you to step into and apply them, not only in your life, but in the life of your peers. All these things just make me remind me that, look, we're dealing with generations. As I'm part of a generation, you're part of a generation, but we're also dealing with our future. Let's go to Psalm 145. I think that's the next one, right? One generation commends your works to another. They tell of your mighty acts, right? Sometimes you think to yourselves, and I've had this said to me as a pastor, you know, people will say, well, I'm not going to force religion on my kids. I'm going to let them grow up and choose, right? And that's their opinion. But you do realize that every action or non-action is an action. There's no such thing as a non-action, right? So if you say, I'm not going to, that is an action. You are choosing to raise children a certain way, and they will perpetuate that. This generation commends your works to another, and they tell of your mighty acts. This is like all over the Bible. Next text. Tell it to your children, and let your children tell it to their children, and their children to the next generation. Again, another text in the Bible that has four generations of people telling and telling and telling and telling and telling. Now, our last text is very interesting because it's about David. And this is where we're going to land, and this is where we're going to conclude. But you see the word generation. When David had served God's purpose in his own generation, he fell asleep. He was buried with his ancestors, and his body decayed. I like this text because it talks about when David served God's purpose in his generation. David served God's purpose in his generation. David managed to find out what God had wanted him to do and what God was calling him to do, and he actually did it. So one of the things that will keep you from finding what God is calling you to do and wanting to do is something I call noise. Noise. So never in human history have there been so much noise. There's so many things, right? So when we think about Elijah being in the cave after he's running from God, and there's a strong wind, and God wasn't in the wind, and there was an earthquake, and God wasn't in the earthquake, and then there was this still small voice. Or we think about Samuel when he was called, and every time the voice of the Lord came to him and called him, he got up and went to the prophet. And he was like, yeah, here I am. And he's like, I didn't call you. And then the second time, and I didn't call you. And the third time, he goes, wait a minute, I think the Lord's calling you. The next time you hear that voice, you say, yes, Lord. And Samuel was called. This issue of serving God's purpose in his own generation is very challenging for your generation. It's challenging for every generation. But I think one of the biggest challenges for your generation is noise. You guys have so many options. It's insane. You have so many options, so many things. It's cultural to be busy. We were talking about in a meeting before this everything started about just how it was. You know, when I was in high school, when we were, there were no cars and no technology and dinosaurs were running around the earth, you know. But when I was in high school, you guys know that there was no such thing as like club teams. Like you didn't play club soccer, club lacrosse, club whatever. There was no club things. And if you wanted to play sports, you had to go to public school because there are very few private schools, right? And you just played one sport. You didn't play two sports, right? I remember when I went to high school, I played tennis and basketball, and I was really weird. People were like, you two-sport athlete? Now that's very common for people to be involved sports year-round. Then you talk about sports year round. Then on top of that, it's like you can be involved in so many other things. And what happens is these good things can drown out the great things that God may be calling you actually to do, right? And so one of the things I want to encourage you guys to do when you start to think about generations, your responsibility, and your purpose is to start to think about, hey, what is the noise in my life? What is the noise in my life that may be actually keeping me from hearing God's purpose in my life? What is that noise? I can promise you this, that in your deepest, darkest moments, God's purpose for your life will sustain you, right? So when I knew God was calling me and my family to come to Baltimore City to plant a church, about the second year we were there, I was having lunch with somebody, and I got a phone call that my son had been jumped by 5 guys, and he was in a coma. So I rushed to the hospital, went to the ER, and thankfully he came out of the coma and he was okay. But what do you think I was thinking about sitting there at Denny's at that table? All the things rushed in my mind, like, why did I bring my family out here? In case you guys don't know, Baltimore is kind of a violent city. You know, like, I felt so bad, like it was my choice. So my kid got beat up. Then it's like, maybe I should have put my kid in a private school. My kids went to public school. All these different types of things. But what I kept coming back to is God's purpose. God's purpose. God's purpose for me. God's purpose for me. God's purpose for me. There was another time where my wife and I were out of town, and my kids called me, and they were like, someone's at our back door. We don't know who it is. You know, those types of things. So it's just stuff happens, and you start to question, man, am I really? But what will center you and ground you is being reminded that you are actually in and centered in God's purpose, right? If you find God's purpose for your life and you figure out what God's calling you to do, it's a great antibiotic for a lot of things that are just destroying kids your age, especially teenage boys and teenage girls. It's a great antibiotic. One of the chief reasons why kids get into some of the things they get into is because this thing on the text, like, it's not true of them. They're still wandering around and still susceptible with hands open and eyes open and their mouths open. All these things, hearts are open. And so anybody can feed you anything and lead you in any way, right? And so one of the things y'all have to consider is the noise. And part of dealing with that noise means you got to consider what it looks like for you to be a little bit countercultural to that noise. A little bit like what it looks like for you to cut that noise out and say, I always need to hear God's voice in the midst of the noise. I always need to do that. So David, he served God's purpose in his own generation. And he figured out what God wanted him to do, and he did it. And he did it with all his might. And he did it well, and he did it with failures, but he did it. And the summary of his life is a summary of what I want said of my life, right? I want it to say, now when Michael had served God's purpose in his own generation, he fell asleep. That's all I want to do. I just want to serve God's purpose. I just want to do God's will. That's what I want to do. And I believe at 53 now, I believe that at some point in time, God's going to call me home. I don't know. I've got friends that are my age, I went to high school with. They're dead. I've got some friends, cancer got them. I've got some friends, it was violence, death, overdose, suicide. I'm old enough now to have friends who have kids your age who have passed away, and I'm starting to see the frailty of life and how, you know, we're just like the Bible says, we're vapors. We're here today and we're gone tomorrow. And so to me, it's like I'm at that point in my life where it's like, man, I don't got time for drama. I only got time for things that matter, right? Like I told you guys before, people want to fight over things that don't matter. I don't have time for that. People want to come up and pastor, like, no, I don't have time for that. There's another church down the road that loves what you love. Like, I have a purpose, and you're not going to take me off of God's purpose, okay? I told you guys earlier that my struggle with mental illness, and when I get to the point where I'm depressed, it's always God's purpose that comes alongside me to help me, to give me that exodus out of my state, to remind me why I'm here. There have been 1,000 times when I thought, what in the world am I doing in Baltimore? Why did I move to Baltimore? What am I doing there? Why do I keep investing in the city? And the city's so corrupt, and it seems like we take one step forward and 13 steps back. But it comes back to God's purpose. This is what God has called me to do. And so today, my question for you is what exactly has God called you to do? School, texting, sports, for many of you guys, those are check boxes. I'm talking about God's purpose. What is God really calling you to do? So since I don't believe in accidents, and since I believe that God works all things together for our good, and that God uses people to impact people, and generations are responsible to communicate to further generations, I began to wonder, as we were looking at these things, of what God is calling you to do, especially about the things that you've heard. So you guys heard about how we're all jacked up, and you heard that God's calling all of us to repent and to be reconciled. I'm wondering about what's God calling you to do in regards to gender. I'm wondering what God's calling you to do with any past hurts or present hurts you have. And I'm wondering what God's calling you to do in regards to mental health or mental illness challenges you have. And I'm wondering what God's calling you to do with your future. And I know how this works because, believe it or not, I told you my testimony of just reading the Bible. I know what it's like to be in a group and to have God whisper, to be in a group and to have God talk, to be in a group and to have God call you to do something. Most of the people in the Bible, when God called them, they resisted the call. So that means most of you, if God is calling you to do something today with something you've heard, if he's calling you to do something with your life, he's calling you to be healed, the natural tendency is to resist it. And I don't want you to do that. I want you to, like, press into that. I really do. You guys, I often say stuff that my generation doesn't like. But I only say it because I think it's true. I like to say the future is behind us. I say that because the generation before me typically created the stuff that we're dealing with now that isn't God's will. And then my generation kind of didn't do a lot about it. That includes me. And so when I think about massive sociological changes for America, if they're going to come, they got to come from you guys. So I hate to tell you this, but I'm going to tell you this because probably nobody else is going to tell you this because they're going to go, oh, they're just kids. Just tell them about Jesus and move on. No, you're not just kids. You're the future. And if you guys don't open your hands and take what God has given you and decide to be a good steward of it and to be salt and light, then things will really only get worse. You say, are you saying we're responsible for the fate of our generation? Yes. Are you saying that we're playing a strategic role in the fate of our country? Yes. Are you saying that we have the capacity to change things? Yes. When you look at history, most of the sociological movements for good were done by young people. It's true. Young people, not old people, young people. It's always been young people. You know why it's young people? Because young people don't know better. Y'all are crazy. You're like, why not? Let's try it. Let's think. Well, why can't we do that, right? One thing that a kid loves to say when a parent says this is why? Why, right? Especially some of you in your lower teens, it's like you question everything, right? That could be a really good thing. It's exactly right. I really believe the future is behind us. The future for me is behind us. It's in you guys. It's in men and women here. And so the question becomes like, so we heard these things. It's like, so what are you going to do? Are you 15 right now? Are you going to be 15 when you're 40? Are you still going to be laughing and giggling and playing video games and like playing around like you're 15 years old? There's going to come a time. It ain't now. Enjoy your youth. Enjoy it. Trust me. Enjoy it. There's going to come a time where you're going to need to press into adulthood. There's going to come a time where you're going to need to press into what God's calling you to do. But I believe there are no accidents. I believe that God's calling you right now to do something. God's calling you right now to respond to something. And maybe it's something in your life personally in terms of some character or something in your life. Maybe it's something, like I said, with healing. It could be something mentally. It could be something that you're dealing with gender. It could be something happening at home. But God's calling you to do something. I really believe that. You know, something else that really impacts me is just seeing the kind of ratio throughout the Bible. God's math is so counter the world's math. So God chose Abraham at 75 years old to leave his hometown to create a people. Now, if I was going to start God's people, I wouldn't pick a 75-year-old. I'd be like a baseball team. I'd go find me a young protege who was like six, who could throw a fastball 60 miles an hour, you know? I'd find a LeBron James type at like 8 years old who was already 6'2", you know, 180. I'd go to like Yale and find that 14-year-old that's working on their PhD. Like, that's what I would do. And then I would amass like an army of like 50 of them. That's what I would do. What God does is he goes, let me pick Abraham. He's 75 and can't have a kid. And he's like, let me pick Moses. He's a felon who committed murder and he's 80. And then he goes into the kings and says, let me pick Josiah. He's 8. Let me pick David, who was short and ruddy and thin and skinny, and I'll put it up against Goliath, who's 10 feet tall. God's math does not add up. God's like, oh, you have 3,000 guys? You have too many. I want 300. That's God's math. God picks fishermen to turn the world upside down. Unlearned men turn the world upside down. Never went to seminary, never did anything. They turn the world upside down. God picked a woman named Mary, completely unknown young girl, to have the Son of God. This is God's math. And God's math hasn't stopped. It continues. You are very significant when it comes to the future. Extremely significant when it comes to the future. The question is are you open to what God wants to do in your life in the future? And do you want to play a role and figure out what God's purpose is in your life for your future? I don't think you guys are too young to start to think about that, what that really means for your life. So for me, to be quite frank with you, and I think you guys can put this together, I didn't have a purpose until I met Jesus. You should be able to put that together pretty good. And the way you know that I didn't have a purpose is because I was about to take my life. People with purpose don't take their life. They just don't. Because they see value there. People with purpose don't take their life. That's not what they do. Because there's tremendous value there. And so this morning, what I want to do is I want to give you guys an opportunity to think through that, an opportunity to really ask yourself what God is calling you to do with what you've heard, an opportunity to respond. Okay? So what I want to do is I'm going to need to create an environment for that, right? You guys are on day 3. I don't know if you got some sleep, or what's happening, but we need to create an environment. But we need to create environment for that, and we need to create a culture where you can actually hear God's call. What we're going to do is we're going to have some of your leaders in a moment. They're going to get up, and they'll just be standing around. And if you feel like, hey, God is calling me to do something, God is calling me to respond to one of these messages or something that was said, God is calling me to respond to something in group, then I want to invite you to go and speak with them and to talk with them. We're going to play some music. I'll be available too. You can come up and speak with me. We can pray together. But this is an opportunity for you to take an actual tangible step in the direction of, hey, God's calling me to do something, okay? Now, I know how it is with children, and I know how strong the peer pressure is, and I know how if God's calling you to do something, it's pretty easy to say, well, I'm not going to move and I'm not going to do something because what are my friends going to think? Or what are they going to say? Or it's going to feel weird. And I just want to encourage you that today is the day of salvation. Today is the day for you to respond to the call of God. Today is the day for you to say, hey, if God's leaning into me, I want to respond to this, okay? That's what I want to do. In 2016, I got the opportunity to talk to my sister. I think I mentioned I have, there's 8 of us. One of my sisters died in 2016 from bladder cancer. And I had the last conversation with her that anyone had, the last conversation. And we were on the phone. I was on my back deck. I remember almost all of it. And I remember how amazing that conversation was, to have that conversation knowing that the next time I would see her, she wouldn't, her body would be there, but her spirit wouldn't be there. She would be with the Lord. I tell you that story because I just want you guys to know that life can be very fragile and very brittle. And the Bible's right, like you think you have plans for tomorrow, and we think we actually have plans for later today, but you don't know. This isn't a scare tactic, this is just a real tactic, like you don't know. And so what I want to encourage you guys to do is, like, today, if you hear his voice, if you feel like God's calling you to do something, you need to respond. If you're like, I don't even know what God's calling me to do, you should still respond. Well, yesterday we talked about what it looks like to take one step in God's direction. That's what we talked about. What does it look like to take one step in God's direction? What does it look like for me to quiet my soul and ask God, Lord, what are you calling me to do? What are you asking me to do? What are you wanting me to do? If there's anything, maybe it's just to rest and to meditate and to trust in you, but maybe there's an action step. I always extend this invitation because it's true. God may be calling some of you into some form of ministry. Like, for real. And I know when God called me, remember I told you the story, I was just sitting there crying and I didn't know why I was crying, and then Joe Weezer helped me to understand what was going on. God may be calling some of you guys into ministry. God may be calling some of you women into ministry. God may be calling you guys to go overseas. He may be calling you to some type of church work. He may be calling some of you guys to plant a church. I don't know. But I know this, that there's no accidents in life. There's no accidents in life, all right? So if no one else tells you this, you is smart, you is important, and you is beautiful. If no one else tells you this, you are the future. If no one else tells you this, we believe in you guys. We love you guys. We trust you guys. And what we want to do is try to provide all the resources that you guys need to be able to have that be said of you. What does it look like for you to put your name in that verse and have it be said of you that after you had served God's purpose in your own generation, you fell asleep? The purpose of God is fulfilling, and it is truly, truly, truly satisfying, and it is desperately, desperately needed. If I had a wish, now you're going to see why I get in a lot of trouble when I talk to young people. If I had a wish, and more so if God came to me and said, I'm going to give you that Solomon thing where you can ask something, what I would say is, I would say, Lord, I pray that you would move amongst young people in a mighty way, in a way that would confound those of us who are older, in a way that would even confuse us, but you would move, that they would hear your voice so clearly, and that you would call many of them clearly to strategic roles for the future at a young age so that they would be purposed. Like Jesus at 13, where you been? You should have known I'd be about my Father's business in the temple at 13 years old. And so that's my passion and my prayer, and I really believe that that's what God, that's what I would really ask for God to do, all right? So I'm going to have the leaders go ahead, and y'all can take your positions, and we'll play some music. And if you guys have questions or whatever, this is what we're going to do for a little bit. And you guys just feel free to get up, and you can go talk to whoever you want. We're going to do this for a while. If you're like, I'm not going to get up, then you're free to stay there. What we would encourage you to do is to actually use this time to take a step forward towards God, right? You can pray with one another, but let's just for a few minutes, let's suspend laughing, giggling, all that nonsense. And let's just say, let's take a few minutes, provide an atmosphere, and just an environment where we can seek God and we can ask some questions. And if you want to pray together, you can do that. And you guys can come and talk to me or talk to anybody else, all right? That's what we're going to do. And we're just going to ask God to move. I'm going to pray, and then we're going to get started. Lord, thank you so much for this time this morning. Thank you for the opportunity we now have to serve one another and to love one another and to hear from you. And I just pray, Spirit, that you would move. I pray that you would break through any barriers or hindrances or boundaries or pain or frustration or doubt or unbelief or distractions or any desires. I pray that there would be nothing that would keep you from touching our lives in this moment. We beg you and we plead with you to come. We ask you to forgive us for our sin. We are thankful that you say that if we confess our sins, you are faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We need you, Lord, and we want to experience you in this moment. So would you come and do what only you can do so that when we leave here, we could say we were glad that we came here because you really showed up. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.